Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. Well, I'm sure it's a happy Friday as long as you're not a fan of either the Arizona Coyotes or the Detroit Red Wings. And we'll get to the Coyotes stuff later because, you know, that's officially now confirmed. Next season they will be playing in Utah. There's more details on that. We'll get into it because I'm not going to spend the next hour talking about the new Lions jersey. Sorry, just that ain't happening.
I thought they were stealing the Carolina Panthers jerseys, quite honestly.
Yeah, those black jerseys do kind of look like the Panthers get up, don't they?
The blue helmets, they don't work. Go back to silver, keep it the way it is. Next.
I'll just say I'm happy that they finally took the WCF off the jerseys. Like, that's the biggest improvement that they made, and I'm here for that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, just those three letters represent losing in this town in a way that nothing else could.
Right. So yeah,
and I'm fine with them finally being off the jersey.
Once they made it to the second round in the division conference finals, didn't they?
Yeah, they made it to the NFC Tough Game.
Yeah, so yeah. That curse is broken. Get it out of there. Let's start anew.
Exactly. But you wanted to start with the Red Wings because...
Well, I got a chance to catch a little bit of Derek Lalonde's season-ending press conference. And it was funny because he's sitting there talking. He was basically just giving his resume. He was saying, oh, here's what we did. We did this. We went in a stretch of six games here. We started out 5-1. And he's right. There were times in this past season where it was exciting to be a Red Wings fan again. I just tuned in right at the right time where a reporter says, why aren't you saying the word playoffs?
It's like he's afraid of the word playoffs. Yeah. Like he just absolutely refuses. Like he talks about raising the expectations and whatnot, saying things like his goal for next season is having a good start over saying making the playoffs. That's putting the outcome over the process.
Yeah. I mean, you can have more than one expectation. You can have your season goal, and then you break it off into months or into a string of games, like road trips and stuff like that. But the goal has always got to be make the playoffs, get the wins together. I mean, for him to say, well, you know, we did this, so, you know, I mean, for him to say he's proud of the team, fine, but it sounds like he's content. He shouldn't be content.
Yeah, I'm not down with content at this point. You're right on the verge. You came within a half a point, or a point of making the playoffs.
Yep.
I'm not here for your talking about your growth and your process anymore. I need to hear from you. We're making, you know, our goal is to make the playoffs next year. That's just me. That's on my end, just what I need to hear to start feeling any kind of okay with the process. Like we're 5 years into the Iser plan.
Yep.
And five we're just years, pretending like, oh, it doesn't matter if we make the playoffs.
I want a Dan Campbell kind of personality, Derek Lalonde. I want him to be more aggressive, to show that competitive zeal. I don't want him to be content until he wins the Stanley Cup. That's the way every coach should act. And that's not where we're getting. I would love to know what Iserman's conference is going on as we speak. And I would love to hear what he has to say, if he would contradict what Lalonde says, because I don't know.
I don't feel like he's going to contradict him, though.
No, I don't see him being content with the way things are going, because there was long stretches of the games where the team was just not producing. They were getting beat by really lowly teams. They were losing big. They were getting shut out quite a bit how many times did they get shut out? Like four times in the month of March.
Too many.
It was pathetic. They need to keep a consistency. You know.
No, they absolutely do.
And at one point, Patrick Kane, who we'll talk about a little bit about in a little bit, he was saying, the way we're playing, there's not any team that could beat us in a seven-game series. And I completely agree. I think they could be just fine. We need that swagger. We need that kind of mentality. Not, oh, well, we did pretty good. I mean, the Wings did show progress. They've been showing progress over these 5 years, but I don't like the whole, we tried our best. We're pretty proud of ourselves. What are you going to hang a banner one point away from the playoffs. There you go. Raise that to the rafters. No, that's not what we. That's not what we want.
You know, I don't sense a real sense of urgency here.
No.
And patients don't fly in this town. Like I don't know if you've noticed this.
No, we're not the most patient people. Apparently, this is the longest drought the city of Detroit has gone in since the 20s of not having a championship. We're going 16 years without a championship in any of the four major sports. So, oh my gosh.
Right.
But yeah, we are impatient. We saw too much progress to just say, well, that's it. Let's see what we can do next year. We'll see who's going to be coming back. We'll see what free agents we can get and, you know, young talent we can. And, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, we can get within a point of the playoffs again next year. No, make it to the playoffs. Win.
Yeah, we're getting to a point where I think a lot of people are like that with the Lions this season. Like, no, last year, you know, the goal was, you know, coming into this season, the goal is going to be make it to the playoffs, win a playoff game. And now, okay, your expectations are raised even further now because of what you did. Here, the expectation absolutely has to be make the playoffs and make an actual, not even make an actual run per se, but, you know, put up a fight in a series. Like, yes. Even if you can't outright win a series, like, I need to see at least a couple playoff games. One here.
Agreed. I mean, I don't think
that's an unreasonable expectation.
Well, no. I mean, he's kind of set himself up. It has to be playoffs or bust because anything else would be a downgrade from this past season.
And I don't think anyone's interested or going to be willing to buy into a team that takes a step back from this.
No, not at all. You got some good young talent coming in. Hopefully be able to get some of these free agents to stick around. Some of them, not all of them. And keep that ball rolling, or the puck sliding, I guess.
Yeah, would that be more? That seems more appropriate here.
Yeah.
But then again, I remember we had talked about not that long ago that Lalonde was kind of setting you up for exactly that next year.
Yeah, there was quotes he had last week where basically, yeah, we're.
He's talking about other teams pulling ahead. Let me give you that audio again, Adam.
He was saying that again. He was talking about New Jersey. Why don't you just go play for New Jersey or coach for New Jersey?
Right. That whole thing here.
We talked about this the other day. This was a dream scenario to be in games like this. No one had us here. Most people projected us seventh in the division. No one had us in the playoffs. And again, not a knock on our group. That was the division, that's the conference. To have an opportunity right here, we may not be here next year. You look at some of these lineups and teams are growing, you know, not to mention other names, but I don't foresee New Jersey not flirting with 100 points. There's teams around us.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry. If you're not here again next year, then you shouldn't be here the year after that.
Like, I agree.
If you're telling me you can't even get to contending for a playoff spot next season, I want Derek Lalonde gone.
Yes. I think that's a very reasonable request.
I mean, I want him gone now, but also like I'd want him gone then too.
I mean, looking at the Atlantic Division, we have a team like Tampa showing some signs of aging. You've got the Maple Leafs, which with their cap situation, they're doing good now, but what's going to happen in a couple seasons? You know, Boston, they're showing signs of being a little long in the tooth. The Wings need to improve and get into that division, not through a wild card, a legitimate spot. And I think they can do it.
I would like to see that. I'm not going to be mad if it's a wild card spot, that ends up being the way that they get in. I'm fine with that as long as they're not, you know, kind of doing the same backsliding, having to rely on other teams to also screw up for us to get there.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. And they say Tortorella didn't know that the Wings were already eliminated. And so he was, or I can't remember. Basically, a lot of people are saying that John Tortorella intentionally screwed around with the Red Wings, but I don't know.
I don't know I believe that. I'm sure Torts wasn't paying that. I do think he probably wasn't paying that close of attention to the other game going on.
No, like, I don't think
it's
so.
It's entirely possible.
I would.
Now, the other thing I don't like about the comments being made so far here today from Coach Grew,
He mentions having to improve their team defense moving forward, but praises the goaltending, saying, quote, they lifted our group. Tips his cap to Alex Lyon and James Reimer, stepping up when Ville Husso was injured. Like, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, defense does need to be overhauled, but the goaltending could stand to be a lot better.
Yes. There were games where Reimer and Lyon definitely bailed out the team. That's fact. But there's been a lot of times where they couldn't stop a beach ball. Especially towards that run of how much of a losing streak we had.
About 20 games, give or take.
It was a combination of things. I'm not one of those people that hangs a goalie out to dry, but they need to be held to responsible as well.
Yeah, the goaltending, I mean, it had its ups and downs for sure, but overall, it needs to get markedly better from what it was if this team's going to be a contender going forward. And all of this just has me worried that at the end of the day, we're getting set up to lower the expectations, to take a step back next year.
No, you can't. In the last 5 years, you've seen the team improve point-wise every season. It has to be the playoffs. Playoffs or bust, because other than that, you were 1 point away from making it to the playoffs. Anything else is a step back, and that I don't care how shiny you think your resume is, you're done.
No, that can't be seen as acceptable in any way. Mm-mm. Like, it has to all be going forward. It has to be forward motion at this point, or else what are we doing? Like, you can't take that far of a step back. You can't go from, okay, we're knocking on the door of the playoffs after 5 years of rebuild to season six. Oh, we're not even close to making the playoffs. That's unacceptable. Completely. And I think you're going to see a lot of people start to turn on the Yzerman plan if that is indeed the case.
There's a lot of people already jumping off ship. And I'm not with Yzerman, but Lalonde, I don't have a whole lot of faith in him. I think that team kind of coached itself in a lot of ways. I think you had Larkin, you had Kane, you had Perron really kind of stepping in and being the voice of reason for that team. Because you notice, when Larkin was gone, all of a sudden production went down.
It all went to hell.
And you can't, he's the captain, sure, he's doing this job, but you can't have that whole house of cards fall because that one guy's not there.
No, like for as much as you have, like, Larkin has been such a big leader on this team in a lot of ways, you can't just have the absence of one guy completely destroy a team like that.
No.
Like, that just shows me, that tells me that there's a lack of leadership from the coaching staff.
We do have to have the conversation, maybe not today, maybe on Monday. Who do you think is coming back? Because there's a few free agents. There's a couple of restricted free agents. I would not want to be Steve Yzerman right now, because you got Raymond and you got Sider who are up for new contracts. They're RFAs. They're not going anywhere, but...
And you were absolutely giving them whatever they want at this point.
Yeah. I mean, David Perron, if I could tilt my hand a little bit, I want him back. I like what he brought to the table. Patrick Kane, I would love to see him back. He's making it sound like he's proud of what they did, but he's going to be testing free agency. But that's what they all say. I think the NHLPA really wants, don't tilt your hand. Get as much money as you can. I mean, that's kind of what we're all in the business for.
Yeah, they do really kind of encourage you to not be loyal to your team, don't they?
Yeah. I will say, if Yzerman is able to keep Kane, he's not going to be able to keep him for that $2.75 million a year that he got him this year. There's no way.
No, he's not. And actually, do you want to talk about that next? Because there's
I've already got one foot dangled in the water.
So we'll delve into that next, because there's already been some, I think maybe people parsing the tea leaves a little bit too much.
Sure.
But we'll talk about that next. Of course, we're going to get to unsolicited advice, and we'll probably make fun of Arizona for a little bit too. It is happy hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right after this. It is happy hour, and we kind of have to delve a little bit further into some Red Wings potential free agents, namely one Patrick Kane. And he's been talking, of course, about his time with the team and how much he liked playing here. And apparently, in some corners, they've noticed that he's referring to his time here awfully in the past tense.
Yeah.
Is there anything to this, do you think? Like, could there be a, like, is it, does it mean his time here is done? Like, is there no chance that the Wings bring him back?
Patrick Kane is always cool under pressure. And, you know, I'm sure the NHLPA and all the players are, they really don't want, they want you to get as much money as you can. Remember when Marian Hossa signed here for about a bag of chips for that 1 year? And NHLPA is like, what are you doing? You're supposed to go and get as much money as possible because you're messing it up for the rest of us. And Hossa was like, I want to win. They didn't end up winning, but, you know. So Patrick Kane is not going to say, oh, want to be a Red Wing. I love it here. Absolutely. What, just 500,000? I'll do it. You know, he's got to play the game. I think we're in the running, but I know the Blackhawks are like, oh, he's definitely coming home. Absolutely. And then everybody's like, oh, nope, he's going to Utah. And of course, oh, he wants to play for the Maple Leafs. Of course.
Because every hockey player ever is born wanting to play for Toronto.
And then there's some people
as
say,
everybody
oh,
knows that.
He's from Buffalo, so he's probably going to go play for Buffalo. Look,
where do these people come up with this stuff?
He, first of all, you got to understand, he's over 35, so any contract you sign him for, whether he plays or not, you're paying him that money. That's just it. So GMs, they're all going to be like a little wary about that because he played very well last season, but he still has that hip. He wants to get paid. He wants to go somewhere where he's going to be. He commented about people who he'd play with and stuff like that, and he paired very well with Larkin and DeBrincat. I think Detroit's very much in the running because I mean the only thing we don't have is yes, we have a very good chance of getting you to the Stanley Cup Finals, but there's not
eventually.
Eventually it will, but I mean he's a 35. I mean we're still looking at a 3 year window. He'll go there when he's 38. But
right,
all the teams that are in contention for the next couple of years, do they have the cap space? I'm asking because I don't know. I've just got the Red Wings cap space right now on Cap Friendly, and it's not as good as we usually are used to seeing. The final cap space for the Red Wings right now before trimming the roster is 2.8 mil. And you can't give all that to Kane. First of all, because that would only raise it to, you know, $5 million. And
okay, you have more cap space than that. Looking at next season, the Wings have $26.5 million in cap space, essentially.
Where are you finding that?
On SpotTrack for next season.
Oh, okay, I'm looking at Cap Friendly. Maybe they're taking into account, I don't know. Well, I like yours better.
Yeah, mine sounds a lot better, so we'll go with it.
Yeah.
So what are the other teams are supposedly rumored to be sniffing around?
I heard Buffalo, Chicago's in the mix.
Okay, two things there. Chicago's not going to be contending for anything before Kane retires. They're one of the worst teams in the NHL right now. Like, Connor Bedard in himself is not going to will this team to a playoff spot at this point. That's a team that finished last season dead last in the Central Division. They're not going to rebuild that quickly. Sorry. So I hate to break that to you.
Yeah.
He's not coming home just because it's his home team.
I'm hearing this from, like, Blackhawk fans on their Facebook pages. Oh, he's definitely coming home.
Well, Blackhawk fans are delusional anyway.
What hockey fan group is not delusional? Take your time with this one.
Red Wings fans? We don't count certain Facebook groups, thank you very much. Who else you got? Buffalo? Buffalo has $22 million cap space.
They just fired their coach. They're adrift at sea.
Well, they've been adrift at sea forever.
Of course, then there's the Slabbies. Oh, he's definitely coming to Toronto.
Toronto's got $20 million in cap space for next season.
They do?
And they only have, well, yes, but they also only have like half a roster right now. They've got like 10 spots to fill with that $20 million because, you know, you've handed out $10+ million deals to Marner and Tavares and Nylander and Matthews. You don't really have a lot of room for another, to add to that. So, like, you've got a lot of things that have to be addressed there before start talking about.
I'm thinking it's either Vegas is definitely going to make a push for him because if it gets too bad, you know.
They'll put him on long-term injury reserve?
Yeah.
I mean, that is kind of their thing. That's what they do best.
Yeah, they're going to come up with a big revelation. No, of course they're not, because Uncle Gary, he likes the Golden Knights.
Yeah, that's true.
He likes the Golden Knights. He likes the revenue they bring in. Have Winnipeg try this Mark Stone malarkey and see how long that lasts.
I imagine it doesn't last long at all. Also,
Florida. What about him going to Florida?
Oh, well, they have 19 million cap space and have about as many players signed currently under contract as Toronto does.
I
the Golden Knights have literally, like, they have to try and fit four people in with 2.5 million cap space, by the way. Vegas does.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to do that.
There's no way. That's not happening. Winnipeg, well, they have 11.4 in cap space and have four roster spots to fill, so that's at least doable. I can't believe that.
Yeah, but I mean, what's okay, for congratulations, Sean. You're now a GM for a hockey team.
You can oh,
pick,
Lord.
You pick whichever one you want. 35, going to be 36 years old this season. Patrick Kane scored, I don't know how many goals. What is a good yearly number for Patrick Kane?
So 2.75 mil last year for what ended up being 20 goals. I would say 5 mil is an entirely reasonable number.
That's kind of what I was thinking. If he thinks he's getting Connor McDavid money, he's sorely mistaken.
Yeah, that's not happening. We got to hit a break. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and I figure it's probably about time we take a break from hockey for at least a little bit.
What?
I know, Adam. It's okay. We can get back to the hockey in the next segment.
You better have something just as good.
I do. It's our favorite bit that we do all week. Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice.
Oh, okay.
We're real people with real problems, send real questions to real advice columnists.
But
unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept, and I think, quite frankly, we actually give better advice than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living.
Later.
Yeah, you know, some lives might be ruined in the process, but that's the price of doing business.
Collateral damage.
Let's dive right in, shall we? Dear anybody other than Sean and Adam, please, I write to you for some help with what is probably a strange dilemma. How do I enjoy clubbing with my mom? To elaborate, my mom was a single parent who gave up a lot to raise me. Now that she's older and retired, she's trying to indulge in some of her old hobbies, like listening to live music in clubs and bars. Going to these performances wasn't really a problem when she was in her home country, where she had friends and other family members to keep her company, but now that she's with me in America, she's reluctant to go out by herself, and I end up going with her to these events to help her enjoy her retirement. The problem is, I'm the complete opposite of her and hate going out to clubs. I don't like being outside past 7 p.m. and dislike alcohol. In contrast, she enjoys the ambiance of nightclubs and loves drinking. So I just kind of awkwardly sit in the corner with my phone in hand. I also have sensory issues with the crowds and loud music, so I try to make myself as small as possible. My mom unsurprisingly can sense this anxious energy for me, and the last time we went to a jazz bar to see one of her favorite bands, she tried to cut her stay shorter than usual in consideration of me. She says she's already happy I'm making the sacrifices to come with her, but I don't want her to feel bad about this. I try my best not to make it obvious how much I dislike being this type of space, but she's my mom. Obviously, she knows the kid she raised. What would you recommend I do to ensure my mom has a good time by making myself have a good time, too? Letting her go out alone isn't an option, considering her age and bad ankle, but I don't want her to feel bad about her hobbies when I accompany her.
First of all, I mean, I understand why you're feeling bad, but you also, I'm not going to say owe her anything, because, I mean, yeah, she wasn't able to have that kind of life when she was dealing with you, because That was her decision.
That's fair, and I get her wanting to try and, you know, make up for, you know, help her mom, because, I mean, she's in a new place, in a new country, apparently. I don't know where they're from originally.
Yeah, so it sounds like they've been there. I mean, from what I understand, maybe I'm reading too much into this, they've been in the country for a while.
Well, it sounds like the letter writer has. Mom, not so much from what I'm...
Oh, really? She's new to the country?
It kind of sounds like that a little bit. So, that being said, I think you may actually be going about this the wrong way. Like, instead of, you know, suffering through this all yourself, and, you know, obviously your mom knows that you're giving up all, you know, it's taking a lot out of you to do this, what you need to do, find her some friends to go hang out with.
Yeah.
Help her find a social circle of people who are, you know, closer to her age, or at least closer to her likes and interests.
Yes.
I don't know how exactly you go about doing that, but, like, have her make some friends and get in touch with some people. And
yeah, get her in touch.
Pawn her off on someone else is what I'm saying.
I mean, there's a lot of the I'm using the word elderly, but the elderly people there, they're from the 60s generation, so they like to go out and have and get loose and have a little fun. I mean, but don't get upset when mom comes home and, you know, she's been with her, you know, her silver crew and come found out she knows about Molly now. And she's covered in glow sticks. Don't get angry.
I don't even think that's the kind of club.
Give me that good Russian accent. I'm almost assuming she's Russian. I had a good time.
I had such a good time last night. We went to the club and they
played Pitbull a lot.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite that kind of club because like he mentions like a jazz bar in that post. So I assume like we're not just like. Have like she's not going to raves and stuff.
She comes back, her wrinkled gray skin is just full of stamps.
Yeah, I get the feeling that that's not what's going on here, but even so, like help her find a group of people or you know some fellow you know music aficionados or whatever. Because I mean I feel this like I'm the kind of person that would go out to a bar and watch a band like pretty much every night of the week and yeah, Rachel hates that sort of thing.
And you are. I was at the same time, but so a lot of times as you get older, like I was a person that wanted to go out every night if I could. I liked the bar atmosphere. I liked going out and seeing bands. I liked sitting and playing trivia. I liked to go out there. And then, you know, we ended up spending a lot of money and everything else. But
well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's...
But once I got older, do I like going to the bars? Sure. But, I mean, not as much as I used to. So here is the writer who I'm assuming is, you know, in her early 40s.
I'm guessing. You think so?
I'm thinking.
Like, she seems like she could be... You know, she might be even, well, I don't know, this woman's older and retired, so that would put her probably in, I don't know, like, we'll say here late 50s, early 60s.
The mother or the writer?
The mother.
The mother.
So we'll put her at, I would say, around my age, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
Me a little older.
So, I mean, I would say maybe go out with her a couple more times. But and this doesn't work because it sounds like she's an introvert. But start introducing her to other people in the club. Strike up a friendship with her. And then, you know, you can kind of like peace out.
And slowly exit yourself from the situation.
Yeah.
It honestly would probably be the best way to go about it. I mean, if you help her find some people, then you're going to be less likely to have to continue to go out clubbing with her, and you can do things that the both you would actually enjoy.
I mean, applaud her for, you know, really sticking through it because she's like, you know, she has a bad ankle. She wants to go out and do this stuff. I'm doing this stuff with her, but it's just not my scene. Total respect. Or she's from another country. She may not know. How about you just gussy up your living room to sound like a club or something like that, you know?
I don't think that's quite how that works, Adam.
Gussy up the garage is like, oh, here's a brand new club, Mom. Check this out. I'm going to bed.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to do, because then you don't know what strangers you're going to end up with there. Like, like, who are these people hanging out in my garage?
The one guy with a silk shirt buttoned all the way down to his belly button, big medallion. Oh, hi, your mom's quite a cool chick. Where can I do this bump of cocaine?
Yeah, that just seems like a terrible idea all the way around.
Yeah.
Well, help her find some friends, then, you know, go from there, I suppose.
There you go.
Let's dive into another one of these, shall we?
Yep.
Dear somebody who cares,
uh-oh.
I have a dilemma. My husband, Harry, and I have been married for nearly 10 years with 3 young children. We have multiple businesses and houses together. We go on dates regularly. We've traveled extensively with our kids, and I would consider ours to be a happy marriage. Candidly, our relationship began in the shadows, as he was still legally married to his first wife, though it was in the process of divorce for quite some time before we met.
Uh-huh, one of those stories.
He has 2 children in their 20s with Linda, one of whom has special needs and is in a post-high school program, so she's dropped off daily by her mother to take the bus. Also, for what it's worth here, I guess I didn't mention, the husband and the ex-wife are around the same age. This woman is 15 years younger. The new woman is 15 years younger.
Woohoo! Robbing the cradle.
Linda and Harry regularly communicate regarding their daughter's schedule, etc., so it's not unusual for her name to pop up on his phone.
Sure.
I'm generally not a jealous person, but with Linda, I sometimes let first wife insecurity creep in. My husband does a lot for her at her house, still pays many bills for her, drives her to the airport, etc. He also regularly takes our children to visit their older sisters at Linda's house, often for hours at a time. Sometimes it feels excessive or beyond what I would consider a normal and amicable divorce situation. When I've addressed my insecurities with Harry to try to talk through our feelings, it's not gone well. He gets defensive and says it's the least he could do after divorcing her. Linda didn't want the divorce. She begged him to stay, and before our wedding, Linda told Harry it's not too late to come back. My husband has been adamant in the past that he respects Linda, but there is nothing romantic between them whatsoever, so it's a difficult topic to broach. Recently, my husband left his phone on the counter with his text up, and I saw Linda right at the top, lots of emojis in the message from her, not from him.
Oh, boy.
While I've literally never gone through his phone ever before, jealousy got the best of me, and I snooped. I scrolled through a few weeks' worth of correspondences, most of which were related to their daughter, but some were banter with things like Linda saying she needed to cook for him soon as a thank you for something he had done for her recently, Harry teasing her about how she looks in the morning, etc. I went cold. Is this just familiar chatting between people who have known each other for 30-plus years? Is this more? Even reading back what I've written, it feels obvious to my spiraling mind that there is a red flag. I don't know what to do. Should I confess that I snooped and asked him about the text? Am I being paranoid? I love my husband, I love our family, and I don't want to cause unnecessary strife if I'm overreacting. Even if nothing's going on, I feel like there need to be better boundaries with his ex-wife, and I don't know how to address that. Please help.
So, the side chick became the main chick.
Yes.
And now she's worried that the former main chick is now the side chick.
Yes.
Wow. This is what happens when you start, you know, going into somebody else's hen house.
If they can cheat with you, they'll cheat on you. But I don't think that's what's happening.
I don't think so. I don't think so. She just knows. She has no problem busting up a marriage. She has no problem getting involved there. And so she's worried that it's happening to her. Well, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Am I going to say, you know? Good. I'm glad you're getting that, but because I don't know all the situation. I know that if they're going through the marriage was going through a divorce before you got there, and you met, and you had a good, you hit it off, and now you have a great relationship. That's great. But I mean, you willingly got into a relationship with a married man. Willingly got into a relationship with somebody who had kids and the mother. Now, the mother, the ex-wife, saying things, I need to cook for you, and flirting around and everything else, sometimes that's just what happens. I'm pretty confident that if my wife went to her ex-husband and said, you know what, I'm done with a good, stable relationship, I'd like to get back in the shipwreck with you, he'd probably be okay. So, I mean, that's going to happen. You're with a desirable guy, apparently. You have proven that. So, I think you need to be honest that you went through his phone, but anything else, that's all on you. That's not on him. He's there for his daughter. So, I mean, deal with it and, you know, get some therapy, I guess.
You know?
Grin and bear it.
Well, there's a multitude of problems here to unpack. First off, as far as the, oh my God, he doesn't, like, think his ex-wife is just the scum of the earth and is actually, like, nice to her and stuff. Oh, my God. How dare you end a relationship with somebody and not just go to immediately thinking that they're a demon sent from hell specifically to torment you?
Like, yes.
What a terrible guy this is.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, the starting dating you while he was still married to her, garbage thing to do. But there's nothing that you found on his phone that is any indication, apparently, that he has any kind of feelings towards her. Like, nothing in there, because I feel like you would have brought it up if you would have saw something in multiple weeks of text that indicated that he still had romantic feelings for her.
Yes.
So, clearly, it seems like he doesn't. As far as the snooping in the phone, not on board with it. Like, if you already don't trust somebody to the point where you feel like you have to go through their messages, they're already, the trust in the relationship has been breached, and yep. I don't think there's any coming back from it.
No. If you ever go through somebody's phone, and I'm not just talking to the writer, I'm talking to anybody listening. If you go through your partner's phone, you're going to find something in there you don't want. You want to know. Just stay away from it. You're going to take it out of context. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Now, I got myself in trouble a lot with girlfriends and some wives, where the fact that I don't hate all of my exes. I'm still Facebook friends with a lot of my exes. Still comment on each other's stuff. You know, I have a good rapport with a lot of women that I have been romantically involved with. It's just, I'm just not that kind of person where you know, okay, write them off and never talk to them again. I mean, like, last time I saw my wife, my ex-wife, at a place, we sat down and we talked. It was mainly about her son, my former stepson, and Dorothy was, you know, okay with it, but not too okay with it. My ex-wife, she got on me one time because she's like, it seems like every woman we talk to, you dated.
What can we say? Adam got around.
No, I did not. That's just it. I mean, it's like, no, okay, yeah, this person commented on this Facebook page. Yeah, I dated her. And, you know, so, but it's not like I dated around. I certainly wasn't a hussy, if that's what you're implying.
Maybe a little bit.
But I don't know. If somebody doesn't hate their ex, that doesn't make them a bad person. It just means they make good choices, and he chose you.
Right. Like, there's, I'm going back, like, there's only one, like, okay, one ex relationship that ended spectacularly badly, and that person hasn't, we haven't talked to each other since. That's, you know, one.
The Woo Girl.
Rach and I ran, no, the, not the Woo Girl.
No.
Nope. The Fatal Attraction. But, no, the Woo Girl we actually ran into not long after Rachel and I started dating at a local watering hole, and she was asking, are you two dating? And we were just, like, in the very, like, first weeks of us kind of talking and hanging out.
And Rachel pulled out a switchblade and says, yes.
No, she awkwarded her way around the question, and then Woo Girl was like, that's not an answer. Like, that kind of stuck with us. But, like, I think I might still be Facebook friends with her. I'm definitely friends with the first ex still. Like, we don't interact really at all, like, very much. Like, if we do, it's usually something related to hockey.
Yeah.
Like, because diehard Wings fan as well.
Sure.
And has not met my current wife ever, and I can't imagine a situation where that'll happen because we're like an hour apart.
Right.
I've met a couple of her exes around at different things. Like
Rachel's ex?
Yeah. One's coming to my bar a few times. And
really?
I don't think he realizes that I am Rachel's husband.
He's 6'5", just an absolute gorgeous man. He's like, how's Rachel? Will you tell him that Raul said hello?
And then the other one,
hey, Rachel, yeah, Raul says hello. Oh, my goodness. Tell him I said hi.
No,
but
not.
You got to say it just like this, Sean. Say, make sure I said hi.
Not quite like that. But then.
Raul, the log splitter? Oh, yeah. How's he doing?
but stop.
Okay.
But the other one plays in a band around here, actually, so we've ran to him multiple times, and, you know, totally cool with him. Like, yeah. It's not like it's
not at the end of the world.
No, like, no. There's no jealousy issues. Like, I'm not the jealous type at all. I don't care who you hang out with, talk to, whatever. Like, if anything, Rachel is worried, like, early on in our relationship, like, because one of her best friends from school is a dude, and she thought I was going to be jealous of her talking to him or whatever, and, like, no, we quickly actually hit it off quite well. Like, and she is not, which is amazing considering she knows I hang out with a lot of bartenders who are, you know, mostly women and closing bars late at night, and she's never given a second thought about it. If anything, she's jealous that she's not hanging out with us. So, like, I don't get the jealousy thing. Like, that is just such a foreign concept to me that, like, it seems so weird that you won, okay?
Yep.
You got the guy. You had him for 10 years. He's not giving you any indication to think that he's not staying with you. So if you're going to really be sit here and be mad about this, like, not trust him to get back with her, then the relationship's not going to work.
Correct. Correctamundo.
And, wow, now that we've really unpacked quite a bit about each other here today.
Yeah, we really projected our own relationships, didn't we?
We went through quite a bit. Like, I feel like we probably owe, like, all of our exes a spot on the apology list now.
Yeah, that'd be a big apology list.
It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. So I did promise you that I was going to let you have a few more jokes at the expense of the now former Arizona Coyotes. And it is official as of last night. They will be moving to Utah next year. That's been confirmed, set in stone. And they will not be keeping, like, the Arizona Coyotes name or anything else. Like, that's all staying in Arizona, which we can get to that in a moment if you'd like.
Yeah, I guess if we have to. But, yeah, that's stupid in of itself. But, yeah, looks like they have trademarked a handful of names. I think some of these are red herrings.
I kind of think that, too. Like, there's no way that some of these names actually end up being used, I would imagine.
No, because some of the names that have been trademarked as Utah Blizzard, Utah Venom, Utah Fury.
I have a feeling I know someone who would really like to see that become the name. Are we going to have to go get him a jersey if the Utah hockey team actually takes the name Fury?
I think
Eddie going to sue them for copyright infringement?
Probably. I think he'd probably appreciate it. But then we get into Utah HC or Utah Hockey Club.
Oh, God.
There cannot be a way that they're just going to go the European football route. There's no
right,
way.
Right, do the Washington thing all over again?
Yeah. Somebody had posted, like, what about the Utah Yeti? And I was like, that's amazing. That's a great name.
Apparently a lot of people in Utah are not exactly thrilled about that name, though. Like, that one doesn't sound like it's getting a lot of traction. Certainly not the same way that the Kraken did in Seattle.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool. It's going to be hard to pass up the Kraken. If I had to pick out of those, it's probably going to be the Utah Venom. I think that sounds cool.
I mean,
they have snakes in Utah.
I don't, do they?
Yeah. You have snakes everywhere, Sean.
Well, yeah, but they're probably just like those little garter snakes. Like, there's no venom coming out of those things. They don't even have teeth, allegedly.
No, Utah, isn't a lot of desert out there and everything else?
I mean, there is some desert out there, but, I mean, it's not like it's Arizona.
No, it wouldn't be like Arizona, but, I mean, what else do you do? The Blizzard, I have a feeling like every AA hockey league has had a team called the Blizzard at some point.
Yeah, like every...
Why don't you just call yourself the Blades?
I'm pretty sure, like, the old IHL, like, had at least 10 teams that bore that name
at
over the course of its
existence.
At
some point or another. It's too bad because a Utah Yeti, you still got the... Oh, it just rolls off the tongue. It looks great. It's got a whole great motif with it. Absolutely. We'll find out soon, because I'm sure they're going to make a big announcement. Because, I mean, after the Stanley Cup finals are done, they're going to have to think about... they're treating this like an expansion, aren't they? Or are they...
No, they're not, because it's a relocation, so they're not, like, okay. They get to keep all the everything except for, like, the team history. So we can get into that a little bit, because...
Sure.
So the Coyotes hockey assets go to Utah.
Yeah.
But rather than formally relocating, the Coyote franchise was marked inactive, with Utah considered an expansion team in a similar situation to the Cleveland Browns and Baltimore Ravens of the National Football League.
Yep.
So they get to keep all the players, all the staff, all the everything that they want to.
Yep.
But the intellectual property of the Coyotes, the name, the logos, and everything else, and the jerseys, that all stays with Arizona, and specifically stays with Alex Marullo.
Yes, he has 5 years to get his you-know-what together, and he can have another team called the Arizona Coyotes. I hate this idea.
It's not going to happen, though. Like, you know as well as I do that he's not going to be able to get his you-know-what together to get a hockey arena actually built in that time, because he's not going to get any... no actual municipality in the Phoenix metropolitan area is actually going to agree to help fund this thing for him to come back and ruin it all?
No, because he had an entire team. He had everything, and he couldn't get it done. But the fact that Bettman would say, oh, he wants hockey in the desert so bad, it's become his hubris. It's pathetic what Bettman is trying to do. He insists upon this, and it's gonna fall flat. So now you have teams like Quebec City who have just been chomping at the bit. They would sell out arenas night after night. Bring the Nordiques back. You'll make the money. It may not be as much as the American dollar, but you'll still make more money than selling out a 5,000-seat bar in the... Okay, anyway,
well,
I digress.
Yeah, but I told you what the three main issues with that... Well, now four main issues, because you brought the fourth up. The Canadian dollar is worth about, like, nothing right now. Like, yeah. I believe it at last check, the U.S. dollar is worth about, like, five Canadian dollars. No, that's not actually accurate.
You might want to Google that.
Yeah, but it's not worth all that much compared to the U.S. dollar. There's not a huge corporate base that's going to buy those big old luxury boxes that the NHL really, these teams really make their money on with these stadiums. Like, it's not, like, the ticket sales are one thing.
I know.
And then also the language barrier, and also no owner has stepped forward to take on this.
I know. We've talked about this. But, you know, my point is still there. I mean, if you really wanted a successful team, fan-wise, you put it in Houston. You would put it in Houston. Atlanta, I would put a team in Atlanta before I would try the Arizona concept again. But here's where we find ourselves.
At least they have a stadium that they can use in Atlanta.
Yes.
You know, you don't have that in Phoenix. Like, the Gila River Arena, which is weird because wasn't it one of the owners of the Coyotes that built that arena and then they somehow got evicted from it?
Yeah, you got evicted from your own building.
That's amazing to me.
They'd rather have boat and RV shows than have your team play there.
What does that say about you?
Wow. Oh, well, you know, well, we could have the Arizona Coyotes host the Toronto Maple Leafs, or we could have Disney on Ice.
And you're probably making more money off the Disney on Ice and with a lot less
overhead.
Bring
out Sebastian the Crab.
You know, given the choices between, Yotes and Avs or Monster Jam? Which option are we really taking here?
Well, I mean, we could do the Coyotes and Montreal Canadiens, or we can do Arizona Comic Con. Get your picture taken with Knight Rider. This guy played a Jawa in Star Wars Episode 4.
better apologize to Monster Jam and Comic Cons.
And Comic Cons. Yeah, I mean. But, I mean, when you're making more money, I mean, the owners of that building is like, listen, we're not selling in concessions. We're not selling. It's embarrassing. You just go on get.
Yeah, that team is never, like, I certainly don't see within the 5-year time frame that Marullo's going to get this done. And he only has 5 years to do it, or else I think any other owner could go and do all this, and the rights would revert back to the NHL to disperse how they see fit.
Yep.
So, honestly, the best thing that could probably happen for the Coyotes right now is for this whole thing to just be dormant for the next 5 years, for them to not get their stadium, for Murillo to officially not be able to be involved in it, because I'd come across some article from The Athletic the other day about Alex Murillo's dreams to bring hockey back to Arizona. Well, I hate to tell you, the only way that dream's coming true for him is if he's not involved in it. I mean, they couldn't even pay the hotels that were housing and lodging the team. How do you expect anyone to think that he's going to
believe that?
How do you expect anyone to believe that he's actually going to be able to build a stadium and get any government to be on board with it? Unless he's going to fund it himself, and if he doesn't have money to pay hotel fees, what makes you think he's got money to build an entire stadium out of his own pocket?
Exactly. Because I'm sure all that's going to collections. Oh, yeah, I'm going to finance a team all by myself.
Hi, IRS online, too.
Oh. Oh, hey, checks in the mail. Click. Yeah, it didn't work.
It's not going to work.
He's not going to get it done in 5 years, and Uncle Bobblehead Gary Bettman will give him an extension. I put that in the crystal ball.
No, I don't think that will happen.
You think the Board of Governors would be like, hey, come on
now. I don't think Uncle Gary's even going to be on board with that, because he wants a team in Phoenix badly. He wants that more than anything else. Like, he's not ever going to admit that he was wrong about Phoenix being a viable NHL market. And you better believe he's not going to let Alex Marullo screw it up again.
Yep.
No, he's not giving him an extension. Like, you have 5 years, clock starts right now, tick-tock, and the second that we can take those rights back from you, we're going to.
Yeah,
Probably.
Like, that's the only...
I'm hoping that...
I guarantee you the only reason he agreed to it is because Marullo probably wouldn't sell the team without that guarantee.
Oh, and okay.
And
yep,
the only reason Uncle Gary agreed to set it for a five-year plan is because he knows there's no way he can make it happen in 5 years. Okay. They were going to get out of Mullet Arena, I don't think, for another 5 years, so... I don't think that old Uncle Gary's going to have anything to worry about there.
It makes sense. Okay.
So I think that that would be my best guess as to why the terms were set up the way they are. And don't worry, Phoenix. You probably will get a hockey team again. You're going to have to wait probably about 5 years and a day or so. But it's very likely that's going to happen because... Gary wants to get back there in the worst way possible. You just need to get the current bozo out of the way in order to make that happen.
Yes.
We're going to hit a quick break. We'll come back. We'll close this thing off. We'll do a little bit of playoff prognostication next, shall we?
Yay!
It is happy hour. Back after this. Happy hours. We get set to wrap things up here on a Friday afternoon, and you probably thought we were going to be talking about some hockey next.
No, we talked about hockey pretty much all day.
And yeah, correct, we're not. Yeah, did you hear what happened to Michigan football? So much for Jim Harbaugh's, we're innocent. 3 years of NCAA probation.
Yeah, he bailed that on that ship and kind of left us holding a check.
The exact thing I told you was going to happen.
Yeah, 3 years.
So, I mean, funny how that works out, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we got our natty.
Yeah, typical from you. We don't care how much we gamed the system and cheated. We don't care. We got our title. Michigan. But, we're the leaders and best. We're better than you. We have integrity over here and lord it over everybody at every turn.
No, we got rid of that. Now we got a natty.
Now it's just, screw you, we got a natty.
That's right.
So, I did promise I was going to give you a chance to do this week. So, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey. Playoffs start tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
So, we have we got matchups and things to go over here.
Yeah. Playoffs start today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow. They start with 5 o'clock with the Islanders and the Hurricanes in the first round in the East.
Oh, are we guessing the whole series?
Yes. Pick the whole series if you
I'm
would.
I'm going to say Carolina in six.
Yeah, I will give Patty Waugh credit, if I have to, I guess, in getting them this far. But that is all you will get from me. Sorry.
Should we have like some sort of thing where if we get the series right, it's a point? If we get it in the same amount of games, we get a point? Should we have a little fun with this?
We can if you'd like. I mean, there's a point for right number and for right team. So you're saying Carolina in...
six.
I'll say Carolina in... I'm going to say Carolina in five.
All right.
Then the second Saturday matchup, your Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Boston Bruins.
So many people are wanting to say it's going to be another first-round exit for the Leafs. Forgetting that they made it to the second round last year, and I said it early in the broadcast, the Bruins are starting to show some signs of elderliness, I'm going to say.
Signs of aging,
aging a little bit, so I'm going to say Leafs in seven.
But look what Boston has still managed to do, despite being kind of on the elderly side. With that in mind, they still managed to finish above Toronto.
Yeah.
In the division,
yeah, but
with
I mean,
109 points, like just a hair behind Florida in the Atlantic, and what?
Well,
they're
in a weaker division, the Atlantic division.
But Toronto plays in that same division,
and they finished
7 points ahead of them.
That's right, they did.
You know what else Boston has that Toronto doesn't? Depth. Give me the Bruins in seven. Adam,
I said Leafs in seven.
Oh, I missed that part. I wasn't listening. Were you talking?
No, I don't remember.
Did you say something over there?
Something like that. I don't know.
We move on to the series that kick off Sunday, and we got quite a few. The Battle of Florida, your first game of the day. The Tampa Bay Lightning taking on the Florida Panthers, who won the Atlantic Division and finished 4 points shy of the Eastern Conference title altogether. Tampa Bay, they made it in as a wild card, the fourth team in the Atlantic. I don't think they have any LTIR magic to pull out this time around.
No. Florida, they're a talented team, but they're a physical team. They're a tough team. Tampa Bay Lightning, just like with the Boston Bruins, it seems like the sun is setting on whatever dynasty that they probably were looking at. A lot of people were saying that Utah is going to be really going after one Steven Stamkos, but we'll find out that later on. I'm going to say Florida Panthers for the sweep.
A sweep? Okay, you're out of your mind, Adam.
Yes.
I love you to death, man, but that's not half. They're not getting swept.
Well, write it down. We'll figure that
out. I'll tell you, Florida's definitely, I hate to say it, Tampa Bay's run's coming to an end, but it's gonna be Florida in seven. They are that gritty physical team that we talk about, but at the same point in time, Tampa Bay has the experience. They seem to
that
be able
they
to,
do,
yeah. And they seem to be able to replenish when someone leaves. They manage to plug another guy in from their minor league system, and it just keeps on rolling.
Sure.
So it'll probably be the toughest matchup that Florida faces. Give me Florida in seven. Up next, we have the Capitals and the Capitals and the Rangers. Oh
man,
I'd feel bad except for the fact that the Capitals kept us out of the playoffs, so I don't feel bad at all. I'm calling this one a sweep for the Rangers right now.
I definitely think the Rangers will be there. I think they will still carry on what's been called the President's Trophy curse, even though some teams have been shown that that's not a thing. The Red Wings. I'm gonna say the Blue Shirts in five.
You think Ovi and Dylan Strome manage to save them at least one game?
At least one.
Do you think Ovi gets any goals in these playoffs?
Absolutely. I think he's probably gonna score out of three out of the five games, but it's just not gonna be enough. Their goaltending is suspect. There's a lot of glaring holes in the Capitals. I mean, they were able to get over a team like Pittsburgh and Detroit and Philly, but now it's real.
I can't dispute any of that. The goaltending is certainly suspect. We go now to the Western Conference.
Yes.
We're the first matchup on Sunday. The Colorado Avalanche heading in to take on the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, Colorado's a perennial favorite. The Jets finished with more points than they did in the regular season, and I believe they finished finished second in the Central ahead of third place Colorado. Who you got, Adam?
Colorado Avalanche in six. This is not to take away what Winnipeg has been able to do, but I just...
Certainly not.
I think with a fully healthy Colorado Avalanche, they get into lockstep, and it's going to be hard to beat them. So give me the Avs in six.
They're a tough team to beat. They have they've seen certainly their fair share of injury woes through the season. I think Colorado pulls it out, but I think it's going to be a little closer than you want to give it credit for. Give me Avs in seven.
Ooh, I like the seven. Was it last year that we had so many game sevens?
It was possibly the best playoffs of my lifetime.
Seven out of the eight matchups all went to game seven.
I believe so, sir.
I did not hate that.
The Nashville Predators and the Vancouver Canucks. The Canucks with 109 points. They finished far ahead of the rest of the Pacific, whereas the Preds, they made it in as a wild card team with 99 points. Who you got?
The Vancouver Canucks have just been absolutely sick this year. I don't know where they came from, but they really have done their homework. They've really gotten things done. Predators, there's a teams that look really claw into the wild card spot, and they use that momentum. Predators, it's almost kind of like the car ran out of the gas, and they were able to coast into the wild card spot. Give me Vancouver in four. Break out that broom.
I'll say Vancouver in five. Then the two... We have two Monday night matchups that start the Golden Knights and the Stars. And the Golden Knights pulling out some of that LTIR magic of theirs again over Kirk Stone.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
As they made it in with 98 points, barely making it in. And then, of course, Dallas, far and away the best team in the Western Conference this year. Does Vegas' luck finally run out?
No. No, I think as much as we want to call them, you know, Bettman's love child, and we want to, like, get on them for LTIR magic, they're still a really good team. It's going seven games because Dallas is no slouch either. Ottinger has been playing very, very well in goal. I guess give me the Vegas Golden Knights in seven.
It's definitely going to be a seven-game series, but I think the goaltending on Dallas' side is going to be more than enough to handle what Vegas can throw at them. I'm going to say Dallas in seven. And then finally, the Kings and the Oilers. I'm calling a sweep here right now for Edmonton.
Sorry for the lackluster thing on this. I should go opposite of you, but I can't. I just think they're
the sweep and everything, really?
With the sweep and everything.
I'll be.
Yeah, give me the Edmonton Oilers in four. I'm sorry. The McDavid Oilers in four.
Okay, that's fair. That's more like it. On that note, we do have a little bit of business to take care of in our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls. Happy Hour would like to apologize to Brad Ratface Marchand, the Arizona Coyotes, Madonna, the Oakland A's, Wolfgang Van Halen, Valerie Bertinelli, Trace Adkins, all of our exes, the Utah Fury, Eddie Fury, Monster Jam, Comic Cons, and Alex Barullo. We're sorry. Kinda. Stick around, a full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Sessions. I have no idea what band's in tonight, so that part's not important. We'll just skip right over that.
The Lion Within from Detroit. It's going to be a good, good time. Great power trio. You'll like them.
Yeah, sounds like that should be a great time. Looking forward to it. Anyway, that's up next. All being well, talk to you tomorrow after... No, not tomorrow. Talk to you Monday afternoon at 3.
You'll hear me tomorrow night from 9 to midnight doing 3 full hours of nothing but Michigan-made music. Oh, the Chlamydia Mix. Yes, of course.
Always. I'll be well. Talk to you Monday at 3. See ya.